Verse 1, very familiar portion of Scripture here. I'm sure your preachers preach quite a bit from here. But I'm going to try this morning. I believe this is where the Lord allowed me to settle in on. He said, and the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down his stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it. Like I say, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture here about this prophet Elisha. He come out from under the great prophet Elijah. I like that man Elijah. I like him. He prayed fire down out of heaven. I liked him when he cut up the prophets of Baal. Same fella. Amen. My kind of Christianity right there. Hallelujah. And this man Elisha was a student out from under this great prophet. And if you read chapter 2, you'll see his desire. Elijah said, what will you have me to do before I'm taken off the scene? He said that I might have a double portion of thy spirit. He said, you've asked a hard thing. But he said, nevertheless, if you're with me, you see me when I'm taken up, the mantle will fall on you. If not, it won't fall on you. And if you study that and read, you'll see where Elisha refused to be separated from Elijah until God took him up in a whirlwind. And the mantle fell on Elisha. If you study, I believe I'm right here, God used Elijah to do at least 8 miraculous things. And the mantle fell on Elisha, and God used him to do at least 16 miraculous things. So he got his heart's desire to have a double portion of this great man's spirit. Amen. Everybody saved got the Spirit of God in them. But everybody saved doesn't want all what the Spirit of God has for them. And I may never reach that goal, but that is a goal that I'm pressing for. That God would use me as much as he possibly can and fill me with the right spirit and the right attitude to serve him with. Amen. Am I doing any good here? I'm trying to get started. If you'll help me a little bit. Amen. We'll get done with this. Amen. But these young prophets here, they were godly young men that served the Lord in a very difficult time. And you study here before you get to this portion of Scripture. If you study chapter 2, you see where Elisha used a new cruise of salt to heal the bad waters of Jericho. You get to chapter 4, you see where he increased the widow's oil and in the raising of Shunammite's son and the healing of the pottage and the multiplying of the food. When you come to the 5th chapter, you witness the cleansing of Naaman the leper, a Syrian soldier. Bible said he was a man of valor, a great man, but he was a leper. You and I know this morning when it speaks about leprosy in the Bible, talks about our sinful, Adamic, ungodly nature that we have, that we're born with. And leprosy, and I won't labor there long, but it starts on the inside, undetected by the natural eye. Kind of like these babies, new babies, they're born. Amen. Everybody just wants to hold them and squeeze them and love them. But they got a nature in them. They got an Adamic nature on the inside of them. I know they're cute and, you know, amen. And we all love them. Amen. But you don't have to teach one of them to lie. He knows how to do that right out of the womb. Amen. He knows how to lie. Amen. He'll scream and holler and kick and you'll think somebody's pinched him or something. You'll pick him up and he'll quit crying. He's just lying. That's all he's doing. Amen. Well, nothing wrong with him. But that nature's in there. That leprosy starts on the inside after so long a period of time, starts showing up on the outside. Sore-like things on the body. Under the law, it was required that they go show themselves to the priest, and the priest would separate them and examine them and then determine if they had real leprosy. Amen. Then if they did have real leprosy, they were separated from everybody that wasn't a leper, and they had to cry unclean, unclean, any time they came around somebody that was didn't have leprosy. So, and that stuff outside the process, the biblical process, and a miracle from God, That disease literally destroyed the nerves and killed the flesh. Amen. And finally, after a long process of time and misery, they died in that corruption. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the way sin is. Amen. It will finally destroy you. But the Bible said there was a little Jewish maid taken captive by the Syrian army. It doesn't give her name. My name's not important. Your name's not important. It's his name. She was taken captive and made a slave in Naaman's home, and she waited on his wife. And she had compassion on this leopard as she'd see this lady weeping over her husband's condition. No doubt she had compassion. She knew Romans 8:28 before it was ever written, all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. She wasn't complaining about her lot in life and how the providence of God had put her in this family's life. God was reaching out in His mercy through this little Jewish maid. She told his wife, if you get Naaman, get Naaman down to the prophet's house. By the way, she had confidence in the man of God. Amen. She believed the man of God could help. I still believe a man of God can help somebody. Amen. And the story how he got a letter from the king and the king rent his clothes. The government ain't the answer. He couldn't fix the problem. But then Naaman got his entourage, all that wealth and that pomp. No doubt he was a wealthy man and a great position and pulled up in front of the prophet's house. Most Baptist churches would have made him a deacon when he pulled up. Amen. Not cause he's full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost. Just because they had a pocket full of money. How am I doing right there? Now, if you're a deacon, don't get mad. Amen. Quit coming here. I'm passing through. I'm not a permanent fixture. I'm trying to have a good time. This is a tough crowd right here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all, the reason I'm in the prison is they'll help you preach a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all get that in a minute. Hey, I'm just trying to say this. He went down there, and Elisha, he didn't even go out. He sent his servant Gehazi out. Amen. He's really what he was saying. You've got to turn and tell that rich leopard what I've been telling all the poor leopards. Amen. Same message. Don't make no difference. You drink your booze out of a martini glass at the country club or a brown paper bag up under a bridge. You're just a sinner. Same message. Don't make no difference what side of the tracks you live on. You're just a sinner. Amen. He said, you tell him go out there and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Well, old Naaman got mad. He got mad at the man of God. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher didn't make somebody mad every now and then. Amen. I try to do that on a day-by-day basis. But truth of the matter is, he got mad about the man of God. He got mad about the message. He didn't like the message. Amen. And he didn't like the method. He said, what about the two rivers where I live? You'll have to do it God's way or you'll not get no help. Amen. And you know the story here, and I'm trying to get somewhere. I remember before I got saved, my grandma and grandpa got saved at Fairview Bible Baptist Church there in the town where I lived. I was a 24-year-old man, just a bomb. Drugs and alcohol made a fool out of me, made a pauper out of me. My grandma had gotten saved. She quit drinking moonshine liquor. She couldn't read or write. She's just an old mountain lady, never had the opportunity to get educated. She wasn't ignorant. Amen. She's just illiterate. Amen. Some of the most ignorant people I've ever met went to some university somewhere, got him an 8-year PhD in Greek stupidity. Amen. My grandma never did believe in evolution. By the way, you're not born stupid enough to believe in evolution. You got to get taught that nonsense. Amen. I'm doing right there. My ma got saved. She couldn't read the written word, but she had the author, the Holy Ghost, living in her. And she had confidence in the man of God. And they put up with me in the middle of my sin, my wickedness. They gave me a bed to sleep in, a bowl of beans, and a place to sleep, keep me from sleeping under a bridge somewhere. But my ma, anytime she'd get the opportunity, she'd talk me into going to church. She talked me into going at Christmas. Amen. I believed in the virgin birth before I got saved. I've never doubted Christ's virgin birth ever since I heard about it. I've doubted my new birth, but I never did doubt it till I got it. How am I doing right there? Amen. She talked me into going. I was just a crazy hippie back in the late 60s, early 70s. Had hair down on my back and a pair of bell-bottom breeches, patches on them. T-shirt with a peace sign on it. Can you imagine that? Me and Nixon and the Pope, peace. Hey, man, just as crazy as you could be. She talked me into going. I said, Ma, ain't got nothing to wear. They didn't care what I wore, but she thought if that's the only thing kept me from getting under the Word of God, she said, I'll buy you a new pair of britches, new shirt, boy. You go to meeting with me. And I love that old lady. And I'd go down there. And then Easter would come around, same story. I believed in the resurrection of Christ when I was a rank heathen. I knew that there was a man named Jesus that resurrected from a grave after being crucified on a cross. I knew all the historical facts and biblical facts. Then they have homecoming. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. My ma put a chicken wing on the hook. She said, hey, they're frying chicken down there. Amen. Pies and cake and tater salad. Even a drunk would go for a free meal. Amen. I'd go down there to eat that chicken before I got to eat that chicken. That preacher would hang me out over hell for about 45 minutes. Make me feel like a sheep-killing dog. When he got done preaching, I didn't want no chicken. I wanted out of there. The faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. That's right. My ma didn't know how to read one Bible verse, but she knew she could get me down there the same place she got saved. God take the hammer of His Word, bust up my old hard heart. Amen. It worked. Thank God Almighty. 1974, in the month of November, I walked in Fireview Bible Baptist Church at 11:30 on my way to hell. By 15 after 12, I was on my way to heaven. I've been on my way to heaven ever since that day. You just keep a-telling them. You don't never know who's going to walk through the door and get saved. How am I doing? I'm about to get over being nervous now. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of y'all look like you're in a dentist's office right now. I'm not drilling teeth. I'm just trying to preach a little bit. Hey, I'm just talking about wonderful when you get saved. I know you can only do it one time, but it was such a wonderful experience. I thought if I could have that same experience again, I'd go join the Church of God and get it done again. But you can just do it one time. Hallelujah. Amen. That went over real big. But anyway, so much for all that. When you get saved, you know all this. You couldn't get saved. Jesus said, no man could come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to draw you to saving knowledge of Christ. God, faith come by hearing, hearing by His Word. God takes His Word through the power of the Holy Ghost, through the preached Word of God, a wonderful Word, and God draws you to saving knowledge of Christ. You've been traveling on God's mercy, but then you run into God's grace. Amen. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. God puts you in the right place at the right time that the Word of God could prick your hard heart. Amen. Then He gave you faith to believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ, the darling, sinless Son of God, virgin born, amen, paid your sin debt at Calvary, shed His innocent blood. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit that brought you there baptized you into His body. That's the church. Takes up His abode never to leave in your body. Seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise under the day of redemption. Washes your past, present all your possible sins away and imputes and clothes you in the righteousness of Christ and fixes you in the mind of God, makes you just as clean as Jesus Christ Himself is. That all happened the very minute I got saved. Amen. I didn't know all that, but I read my Bible since then. Amen. It'll help you if you read your Bible a little bit. Hallelujah. Amen. So you have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen. He's real sensitive. He's real tender. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed under the day of redemption. One place He said, quench not the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we can hurt Him. We can offend Him. And we can lose His power. And we can lose the peace of God, not peace with God, when we sin against Him and hurt Him. Amen. And He's inside everybody that's saved. And when He moves in there, He wants us to live holy. Amen. If you don't want to live holy, you've never met the God of this Bible. It's impossible to get saved and not want to live right. If you don't want to live right, you ain't never got right. Because if you ever got right and you ain't right, you won't get right if you ever been right. Ain't that right? Well, sure that's right. See, it's not you. It's Him in you. Paul said, I bring my body into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. Amen. So when you get saved, you got God in you, and you can hurt Him and grieve Him. Amen. And that's what I want to deal with just a few minutes. I'm trying to hurry. Amen. I tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, before you had Sunday school here and sing those songs, well, amen, we just have meeting then. Amen. I just went on with it then. I believe I'd do better then than I'm doing now. How am I doing that, right? Hallelujah. That's pretty good the way y'all do that around here. I might join this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I ain't going to move in and stay in that prophet's chamber after dark and pull in this driveway no more. Hallelujah. I realize I didn't have a big enough gun with me. Amen. I'm just trying to have a good time. Y'all still out there? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you got the Elisha here. I believe he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. These sons of the prophets are these faithful, godly young men that were living in a very ungodly time. They're a picture of faithful workers in our church. This axe head, this tool that they so desperately needed to do that which God would have them to do, is a picture or a type of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. Amen. You know, here they were in the will of God. Matter of fact, they'd asked the man of God to go forward. They were in a building project. The place become too straight for them, not too strict. It started growing. The reason it started growing that the Gehazi had been dealt with because of his sin. Amen. You gotta, when the weeds is dug up, the flowers begin to bloom. When the cancer is taken out of the body, health is restored to the body. They dealt with this man Gehazi, who's a picture of these TBN preachers. Hallelujah. Amen. That went over real big. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, you know, if you're going to do some work, they asked the preacher, I heard this story here. Amen. They asked the prophet Elisha, they had respect for the man of God. Bible said, for to know them that labor among us, overseer and Lord, admonish it to esteem him very highly in love for the work's sake. I heard this story. This preacher friend of mine over here in near Shelby, North Carolina, got a pretty good sized church, big bus ministry. So he has a big crowd, about 600-700 people. Got an assistant pastor. And one day the phone rung at the church, and the assistant pastor answered the phone and said, yes, sir, can I help you? And another man on the other end said, yeah, I want to speak to the big dog. He said, the big dog? Yeah, the main hog at the trough. He said, buddy, we don't refer to our pastor as the big dog or the main hog, but what do you want? He said, well, I've sold some land. I got $20,000 I want to give to the church. He said, hold on just a minute. I believe the big pig just come in. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if that helps or not. Well, we're having a good time. At least you're laughing. Some of you wasn't even doing that a while ago. Hey, you know, if you was going to do some work like this with a mattock or an axe and, you know, and you didn't have no experience of that, and you went down to co-op or one of these hardware stores and you was curious about what would be the best and thing you could use. The salesperson may take you over. Sometimes, you know, those axe handles are not already assembled. They got them in a rack. And he may talk to you about how strong that wood is. And some of them got rubber grips or grooves in them where you can hold. And the wood's real strong. And he might brag a lot on that handle, how much pressure it could take. And I've heard some preachers brag a lot about the handle. We're absolutely useless if we're not in the right hands. Isn't that right? Amen. I've preached with some great preachers. You say, how do you know that? They said they were. Hallelujah. Amen. How am I doing right there? He may explain that. Then he may take you over to where the axe heads at, that iron, and explain to you how much heat, how much pressure, how much heat that's been on, how much temperature has been put on it, and tell you what kind of edge it can hold, like a good case pocket knife, and can take a lot of work before it gets dull. Talk a lot about the handle. Talk a lot about the axe. But there's a little part about that axe that they probably won't mention. And it's called a wedge. It's what holds it all together. You know what we're doing here this morning? That's why we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Try to keep the wedge in its right place. To keep it all together, that we can do that which God would have us to do and get the job done. And this axe head here, speaking of the working or the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, the Bible, he said it was borrowed. In other words, it was loaned for a special task. It was loaned for a special task. He said it was borrowed. And I know we don't have the Holy Spirit borrowed, but you cannot do anything outside of His power. John 15, he said, without me you can do nothing. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit shall remain. Whatsoever you ask my Father, my name, he may give it to you. He said, if any man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and withered. Men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they're burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you go and bring forth much fruit. So then shall you be my disciples. You cannot do anything outside the power of the Holy Ghost working in your life. In those Bible days, this Bible day, they didn't have all the metal working places we have today and all the stuff that we have to do that kind of work. So if anybody had an axe head like this as two, it was very expensive, and it was a long process. You had to have a lot of patience to get this thing done and made. And if you'd paid the price and been willing to wait on God to give it to you, you did not want it very far out of your reach. Amen. And here, this two that he had was long for a special task. And I'm not being irreverent or disrespectful to God the Holy Spirit, but I do know you cannot do anything outside of him. Everybody saved got him in them. You cannot have him in you and not know it. If you don't know you're saved, if you don't know he's in there, amen, he's not. Amen. Kind of like saying you're saved, not know it. Be like saying you're married, not know it. Some of y'all wish you could forget that experience. I can tell by looking at you. But the truth of the matter is, one reason I know I'm married, since I got married, somebody else lives in the house. Amen. Since I got saved, somebody else lives in the house. What know you not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is of God. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which is God. I am trying to hurry. I know it's 12 o'clock, and it does mean something. Amen. But I'm trying to get done. It'll take me a few more minutes. Y'all going to hang with me, ain't you? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I ain't going to ever get to come back, but I'm going to unload the wagon while I'm here. Amen. Well, it was loaned for a special task. It was also lost at a surprising time. As one was felling a beam. As one was busy doing religious activities. As one was busy preaching. As one was busy teaching Sunday school. As one was busy doing leading the choir and the singing like this good brother does such a good job doing. As one was working in the church. As one was busy doing something for God. In the perfect will of God, he got permission to go forward to do this work. Full of zeal. These young men were full of zeal. They were excited about what God was letting them do. And all of a sudden, that's where the problem happened. As one was felling a beam. Hey, this loss of this power wasn't brought on by laziness. This wasn't somebody, and I pastored a church, there wasn't somebody that showed up at 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock and mad because you wasn't done but 12, that they could go out and smoke or something. How am I doing right there? That went over real big, amen. Now, I'm not picking on you. I used to smoke them on both ends, eat the middle. Hallelujah. If I get to heaven and find out it wasn't such a bad thing to have a little sip of wine, smoke a cigarette, I'm going to whoop some of these Baptist preachers. Hallelujah. Amen. They won't let you do nothing. But the truth of the matter is, amen, that went over real big. But it was alone, a loss of the surprise. As one was, it wasn't brought on by somebody that didn't ever show up about every 3 months. Somebody that just professed to be saved. But, this was somebody busy. This somebody loved the Lord. This somebody excited about what God was letting him do. Amen. It could be brought on by forgetfulness, though, or carelessness. Amen. You know, if you're going to do a work like that and you're swinging an axe or a mattock, it's real wise every now and then to just stop and examine the thing, make sure the wedge ain't worked loose. Amen. There's some Bible on that about axe head coming off and hurting somebody. Old Testament. You know me, and I take them things, and when it's loose, I tap it down on the ground. That's what these altars are for. Tighten things back up. It's not just for folks that go out here and commit drunkenness and adultery and fornication. It's for folks that's busy trying to get something done. Excited about what God would allow them to do. Amen. I have even took a nail, and I'm kind of dumb about stuff, and drive that down in the end of that, tighten that back up on that axe head. Amen. That takes a little more sweat and a little more muscle. I have been dumb enough to take a wood screw, amen, and twist it down in there for it won't work loose. One farmer told me, he said his dad told him, said, son, you take that axe handle out there to the barn and put it in a 5-gallon bucket of water and leave it there for 2 or 3 days in the water, that'll tighten things back up. That's what this book will do to you. You get to reading it, looking at it, it'll tighten you up, let you know how things really are. Amen. Is this message as bad as some of y'all look it is? Amen. I'm going to throw this outline away. I stole it somewhere anyhow. Amen. It worked for that guy. It ain't working for me. But I'm trying to tell you, amen. Hey, it was a loss at a surprising time. You said that can't happen to me. I'm a charter member here. I'm a donor. I've been in this church. I mean, my family gave the land to. That's great. I'm wonderful. I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful, those names on them. Beautiful windows. I think that's great. I'm not criticizing that. Amen. But it's happened to better people in the Bible than you and I are. Amen. Oh, Samson. You can say what you want to about him. Samson, I liked him, man. I'm telling you, he's a bad dude. Amen. When the Spirit of God come up on him, he took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000 Philistines. I used to say Muslim, but that's not politically correct. Can't do that no more. But, amen, Philistines. Amen. Some of y'all missed that. Amen. I mean, he's just a bad dude. Amen. I liked him. Amen. I know he got fouled up. Laid his head in Delilah's lap. Got to flirting around with the world. Love not the world, neither things anywhere. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in, but all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life is not the Father, but is of the world, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. His problem didn't start with Delilah. His problem started in rebellion against his authority of his parents to begin with when he started chasing loose women. Am I doing any good right there? Amen. You know the story. Amen. He finally revealed the secret of his strength. She said, awake, Samson, the Philistine be upon thee. And he went out and was going to shake himself like he had before. And wist not that the Spirit of God, God had left him. Amen. A lot of people in the Baptist church, I believe that's what's happening. They flirt around with the world so long, they don't even know that they don't have the power of God in their life anymore. You take Mary, and the mother of Jesus, she wasn't to be worshipped, but she ought to be respected by us. But I'm not going to bow down to no statue of Mary. That's an abomination. Amen. Amen. But she was favored by God because of her godliness. And the Holy Ghost placed the seed of God in her womb, and she birthed God into this world. She carried him in her womb for 9 months. She knew who he was. When she was born, she held him. And can you think? I think about that, having a little baby Jesus holding God like that. She bounced him on her knees, played with him just like you do, your youngins. Loved him. When he got 12 years old, they went down there to one of those feasts that they went to. Amen. And amen, got caught up in all the commotion, everything. And went all her and Joseph went a whole day's journey, supposing him to be in the company. Didn't even know they lost the presence of God, a whole day's journey. Took them 3 days to find him. It usually takes you a little longer to find him than to lose him. Now I know we can't lose him. He's never going to leave us. But you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Well, let me hurry up here. Amen. Well, he was alone for a special task, lost at a surprising time. It was lamented his serious trouble. He said, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Hey, this old boy didn't do like I feel like I'm doing right now. Hey, man, beating on the bark of the tree with a handle. Hey, man, as soon as he lost that which he needed to do, that which he knew God meant for him to do, immediately he was broken about it. He was broken and he cried. Whether he was weeping or whether it was a cry of desperation, I don't know, but we ought to be concerned. Hey, man, you got a good church here. I'm not just saying that just because I'm trying to butter up somebody. It's a good church, but you got to be careful. Hey, man, I've seen a lot of good churches. The Lord just kind of moved out of them. They're sitting there going through the motion and no power of God in there no more. Hey, man, how am I doing there? Am I doing all right? Amen. I tell you, I know the difference. I'm not no super spiritual discernment, but I do know when I go to somewhere where the Spirit of God shows up. Hallelujah. Amen. He'll even visit me on the pew I'm sitting on if he's in the building anywhere. Amen. He'll let me know to encourage me. Amen. We ought to be concerned about the loss of the power of God. Well, it was loaned for a special task. Lost at a surprising time. Lamented his serious trouble, but right quickly. It was located with a simple task. The man of God, and the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. The preacher, the man of God, didn't beat him up, didn't jump on him about it, didn't scold him about it. No doubt he'd had that experience in his life, probably himself. He had compassion on this young prophet, and he said, where fell it? The man of God said, we're fed. I got to thinking about that. How would he see that? How would he said he showed him the place. How would he show him the place? You drop a heavy object like that into water, goes to the bottom, stirs up mud. Amen. You ever play in the creek and try to catch a crawdad out from under a rock? You don't catch him first time. There's so much mud you can't find him. But you do know the vicinity of where it went. How am I doing right there? Some of y'all need to go play in the creek. You'll get a hold of my illustration here. Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is, he showed him the place. And I got to thinking about that. I preach in prison, and prison is not like this church. You don't have this kind of singing. You don't have this atmosphere. It's pretty rough sometimes. Pretty rough. Amen. And you swing the axe head, and you're busy trying to get somebody saved, wanting to get some saved person some help. And you travel a thousand miles there and back. You're beat up, and you've been swinging the axe head, but you know something's wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. You ever been like that? Amen. You ever been like that where you know something's wrong, but you can't put your finger on it? And you go to church, but God has mercy. He loves us. He didn't come by our churches to beat us up and beat us down. The whole purpose of church is to help us. Amen. And the preacher's not been following you around. He don't know what you've been into. He don't even know how you feel. He don't have no idea what you've been experiencing. But God gave him a message. Amen. A message. God, he's been in his study praying, and God gave him a message. And right in the middle of that message, you're sitting there all dried up. Your tear duct dried up. You ain't felt the good presence of the Holy Ghost stirring in a long time. You know something wrong. Amen. You're not able to put your finger on it. But then the preacher gets to preaching, and the Holy Ghost said, right there, David. Right there. Right there is where you drop the ball. Right there. You know, when I first got saved, I wasn't married. And I'd go to church. They sang birthday songs. And then they sang anniversary songs. And they'd sing anniversary songs. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Well, I didn't know what this meant until I got married. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. How am I doing right there? Amen. Amen. That's right. I've never won one of the fusses, but I'm not giving up the fight. Hallelujah. I know I'm right, whether she ever admits it or not. Praise God. Told her I was sorry many times when I really wasn't, just for I could sleep at night. Some of y'all's wives looking at you. I can tell that, amen. We promised never to go to bed mad. I stayed up a week at a time, and I've kept my end of the deal. Just how it is. Amen. Little foxes. Little foxes. Spoiling the vine. I say this all the time. I could live right if I didn't have to drive so much. There's a lot of idiots on the road. I'm there. My wife would say, you're so impatient. I said, no, that guy fired brain dead. I said, don't he know I'm headed to church to spread joy and cheer? Get out of the way, buddy. Hallelujah. Trying to get to meeting, praise God. Some of y'all look like, I'm telling you, I'm about done. Some of y'all, I'm going to turn you over and cook you on the other side. I'm trying to preach, amen. But true, man, little things. Little things. I'm staying in this motel down in middle Tennessee. I go to this prison. I've been doing it for years. Staying in this motel. I go by these rest areas and get them coupons, you know, where you can save $15-$20 certain days of the week. And I stay there. But one time I needed to stay just a few hours, and I had nowhere to go. I didn't need the motel for the whole night. And I went to the fella and said, hey, can I? And on Friday night, that you can't use a coupon, and Saturday night, no good. But I asked him if I could do that on Friday night. He said, no, you can't. I said, hey, man. Bible said, be angry and sin not. I got that first part down pretty good. Be angry. I got a little aggravated. I said, you mean to tell me I've been standing here for 10, 15 years, every year, and you're not going to let me? I'm just asking. I won't touch nothing in the room. I just need to sit in there. It was raining. I just need to sit in there until I go to prison time, and I'm going home. I'll pay you this price. He said, no, can't do it. It's Friday night. I said, you mean to tell me you? And I got upset. I know you don't think I do. Amen. And I said, that'll be the last time I ever stay here, buddy. You'll never see me here again. And before I got to my car, Holy Ghost said, who do you think you are? Talking to that man like that. Acting like that. Am I doing any good here? Oh. He said, he don't even own this place. He don't have the authority to tell you can do that. He's making probably minimum wage, maybe less. And you're going to talk to him like that? And you're a Christian? You ain't much of one. The Holy Ghost talk to you like that? You go. I said, I'll call him when I get home. Tell him I'm sorry. No, you go tell him now. I had to go back in there, same fella. I said, buddy, I'm so sorry. He said, buddy, I'm sorry too. I'd have done it. I worked three jobs just to pay the bills, pay the rent. I just worked here part time. I said, well, let me rent you a room for a week. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, stuff like that. Where fell it? That's what preaching, but where fell it right there? Right there is where you acted crazy, where you got bit out of shape. I know you don't do that. I can tell. I'll ask your wife after a while how you do at the house. Hallelujah. Well, this is the last time I'm preaching that, this message. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, am I doing any good? Well, I'm about done. Amen. Well, alone for a special test. Lost at a surprising time. Lamented in serious trouble. Located with a simple test. God'll let you get that thing fixed. You ever get that stuff fixed? You think, man, I've been saved 40-some years. Surely I won't lose my temper again, you know. Because you grieve the Holy Ghost. He's still in there. Amen. When you get right, he starts stirring around in there again. You know, a little dove starts flooding around in there again. I like it, don't you? Tear ducts get to flowing again. Good presence of the Lord. Think you got the victory. Been saved all these years. Surely you won't lose your temper again. Going down the highway, minding your own business, son. Listen to gospel music. Listen, doing the speed limit. You really get right with God when you do that. If you really are right with God, that's hard to do. Is there, I hope ain't no state trooper in here. Hallelujah. And you think you got the victory. About that time when these brain dead teenagers comes by, where they painted their car lime green or canary yellow. Got them wheels that still turn when the car stops. You've seen them. You get my age, you look at that long enough, you'll throw up. I'm telling you. They got all the suspension taken out from under that car, and if you ride behind them, it look like a chicken pecking corn. Got them boom boxes in that thing. Boy, I mean, you pull up at a red light, they got them things are roaring, you shaking, and your cars are shaking, and you think, man, my sugar counts fail. I'm like, don't know why I preach your hallelujah. You look over in the sky, got a hubcap in his ear and a logging chain the side of his nose. Got his hair painted purple, sticking straight up. Amen. Got decals all over his body. If you ain't careful, you'll get pharisaical. Holy Ghost said, you remember when you was like him, when you didn't have no more sense than that? He'll ride by you, blow the horn. Get out of the road, old man, and cuss you. And the little dove flies out the window and says, come here, boy. I'll slap your brains out. Hey. He knows what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Seems like the little dove flies back in. He never did leave. He said, why you want to act like that, boy? That boy's just doing what sinners do. You got the Holy Spirit in you. Holy Scripture working on you. Saints of God praying for you. You're on your way to heaven. Why you want to act crazy? I know the preacher. I know he don't act like that. He's a real gentleman. I struggle a bit. Amen. I need a priest up here to confess all these sins to. I do. Amen. Well, it was long for a special task. Lost at a surprising time. Lamented in serious trouble. Located with a simple thing. Where fell it? And he showed him right there. And it was lifted with a small twig. The man of God took a stick, cast it in the water. The Bible said the iron did swim. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, God help you if you don't. You might have one of them that said it floated. Dead things float. But for a piece of iron to swim, it had to be quickened. It had to be made alive. That stick speaks about Calvary and the cross. And God wants us to reflect back on what He done for us. We don't go back there to get resaved, but we need to take a good look at how they treated Him. Before we get bent out of shape over little things that aggravate us. Amen. The law of gravity that drew it down to the bottom hadn't quit working, but a greater law than gravity, God's grace, amen, where sin did abound, grace much more abound. No more could you have gotten saved on your own unless the Holy Ghost quickened your dead spirit. No more can you, when you get out of the will of God and get sin in your life and you've lost the power of God, you cannot get it back on your own. It takes the power of God and the quickening of the Holy Ghost, amen, to give that back to you again. Am I doing right, Charlie? I believe I'm right. I'm done. Maybe this morning God spoke to you. Are you saved? Can you leave here today without any doubt that you're going to heaven when your time's up? Amen. And then if you're saved, is there anything there that's grieved the Holy Spirit that you ought to get it fixed? That you can get the joy back in your life and the good power of God to work back in your life? You come on, preacher. I'm done.